We've been considering last few times that I was speaking here from the book of 1 Peter, and we'll continue to 1 Peter again this morning. Shall we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2? Last couple of times when I took the meeting here, we were considering for chapter 1, and we last time when I was up here, we looked at verses up to around chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll continue this morning from where we left. For some who are not here, previous two messages, just a brief highlight of the things that we looked at. The first part of chapter 1, up to about verse 13 or so, we saw that every Christian believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is born or born again into the family of God for glorious life, a glory not to wait, the glory that is to come, to have a glory right here on earth as we live for Him. And the preparation part we saw in that part also. And we can also enjoy that glory as we live here on this earth. And the second part of that chapter and to the beginning of chapter 2, we looked at as believers to live a life and to enjoy the glory for which we are created into the new being, into the family of God. We are to gird ourselves to be obedient, to have a holy conduct and a loving mind. Peter, mostly in that passage, is concentrating upon our mind, and we looked at the mind, what it does to our life as we live here on this earth. And then he goes on to change his subject in the following verses of chapter 2. I don't know how far we will get to that chapter this morning. We will go as far as we can, and then we will pick up again the next time I am scheduled to speak. Primarily this morning, our subject should be the aspect of belief in the believer's life is two primary things that Peter brings in this passage is his privileges in our spiritual house or the church and a believer's priesthood in the body of Christ. Now, the subject of priesthood is a subject that is mainly ignored, untaught, unpracticed, unbelieved among Christians today. And why? Because I will come to that point as we go on with the subject. And there is perhaps a reason for not being very open in teaching that subject. I'll leave it on suspense for now. There are reasons why that subject is not very much taught. So with that having said, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 through 10, we will read. For the reading purpose of reading, I'm going to be looking at the New King James Version, which is on the screen here. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. And verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. We will pause it there for the moment. I don't think we'll go beyond that passage this morning. If you look very closely to these verses that we read together, Peter brings two major subjects. There are a number of other themes here, but there is major two things that I want to bring to our attention is the privilege into which you and I have been brought into. And also, as we come, as once we enter into that the spiritual house, as a part of the body of Christ, a spiritual house, we are the priest unto God in the body of Christ. And what does it involve to be a priest? What does it involve to be the enjoy the privileges? And what are the privileges that we are being brought into? And the following verses from chapter 2, verse 11, almost up to verse 6 of chapter 4, a long passage, Peter is dealing about about believers' relationships. Believers' relationships here on earth. It's a long passage from chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 6 of chapter 4. Why? Because it is so long, because it is the most important subject that concerns believers today here on this earth. Our daily walk with him and our relationship within the family of God, within the family of your own family, within our relationship with the world outside, our relationships to masters, to husbands, to wife, and those relationships are absolutely important. Therefore, Peter takes quite a bit of area of subject of discussion in that extended passage, but that's not our subject this morning. But we will come to that as the Lord will, if the Lord will, in the days to come. But to get to that point, based on what we saw in the past chapter one, to have a life of glorious life here on this earth, and in that preparation for the future glory, and as we live on this earth and tune our mind in various ways, as we looked at last time. In between these two aspects of what Peter brings, he brings the one of the most important subject, a theme, which is so essential to do either the one that we talked before or the one that will be talking in the future. So this is almost a pillar in the middle that he brings. And if you do not understand this pillar, this truth in the middle, it is hard to do what we have talked in the past. It will be difficult to do what we'll be talking in the future. So therefore, this morning, as we consider this passage together, I want you to pay very close attention to and to grasp and perhaps renew our memories to some of us. And if you have never understood the very truth of what God is trying to teach us through the writings of Peter here, we better be listening very carefully to the Lord this morning. One of the things that Peter addresses here is that we have come to him. Let me pause for a moment here. I know most of you personally, perhaps I do not know some of you personally. Maybe a young child, maybe you are visiting, but whoever you are, if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only two options left. Either you are part of the spiritual body in which the God is building his church, or you are outside that. There is nothing in between. Either you are inside or you are outside, having come to him, says Peter. And I'm glad that majority of us in this room had the privilege in our life, one time or the other, to come to him in faith and believing in him and accepting him, coming to him as a living stone. Who do we come to? And people go to all kinds of places and people, but we are asked to come to him. You look around the world today, the religions of the world, they are gathering to men, including so-called churches. It pains the heart of the Lord to take his name and his primary responsibility as the head of the church and given to men, and men always gather unto men. What a privilege for you and me as a small group this morning to gather around such a very person of whom you have been talking about, meditating upon and worshipping in from our bottom of our hearts, in songs, in worship, in study of the Word of God together, reading and exalting our Savior and coming to Him. And I was told this past week in one of the conversations that people gather around men or who are well known, well taught, maybe very eloquent, very capable, very do, you know, humanly speaking, wondrous things perhaps. But they gather unto a man. And I was told this week, I don't know who I was talking to, one of them, one of my friends, I believe it was, I was told. I won't give any names here, it's not my business to here condemn anyone to what they do. I was told one of the very well-known pastors of that you may know very well if I give the names. They have bodyguards. When they go out, when they go to shopping, they go to a coffee shop, they have 4 bodyguards walking around them. People gather around men. And I am so glad that I could this morning full of heart to say this morning, Lord, it is our privilege to come to you. And you alone as our chief cornerstone. We have come to him. We have come to the cornerstone. Now based on, we won't take time to read, you know this passage very well in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. The Lord was speaking to Peter that you are Peter or a stone, and I will build my church on this stone. Or this rock, for the right translation. There is a religion called Catholicism, which is based upon the false pretext that man is the cornerstone, not the Lord himself. And they say it is started from Peter. But Peter really understood what God was speaking about, because he makes it very clear in his writing here. He knew that he was not the stone. The whole religion of Catholicism is based on that false pretext of a man being the cornerstone. And there it goes. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We won't take, I don't have too much time in front of me, therefore let me explain. If you have ever watched or seen, at least in olden days, I have very closely watched. I am a very observing person. I observe when people do things. I sometimes learn from observing. So when they build the house, at least back home where I grew up, they put a cornerstone first. They dig a hole and they put the cornerstone. And every stone after that is in relation to the cornerstone. The measurement goes back to the cornerstone. The 3rd stone and the 4th and the 50th and the 100th stone, it is not measured to the previous stone, but it goes back to the measurement of the original stone, which is the cornerstone. Otherwise, at the end of the day, the building will fall apart. Because the reference is always the cornerstone. That is the measurement, that is the strength, that is the cornerstone of that house. That is how I have seen. But here, things have changed now. I don't know how they do this. I don't watch them very well. But I believe there is some extent of solid foundation which they think when they design homes and buildings today. Our Lord is the only person who is the cornerstone. Get this. And none else. Not only Peter understood what the Lord was talking about. Paul in his writings has made it very clear that our Lord is the very cornerstone upon which we are built. Now Peter takes us to the next level. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, now get this, it is the Lord is our cornerstone, who are you? When you are in the building, you, verse 5, you as a living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a lively stone. Let me ask you this question to you. Doesn't matter where you go, which church you go, where you live, what you do. Are you a lively stone in the spiritual body? And I talk to people sometimes, Christians, who know the Lord. They love him. But they are simply in numbers when they gather in the church of God, into the building. Can you imagine 10,000 people in a building? Who is the 9,999th person? Who knows? The Lord alone. It is only a number, but not a living stone. What a huge difference what Peter is trying to establish here. I want you to think very carefully. Are you a living stone? A stone that is referenced and placed in the body of Christ, in the spiritual house, in relation to the cornerstone, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not such placed well, you may not function as a living stone. You could be a number or a member, but not a living stone. And our privileges are much, much more detailed. Peter is trying to explain here. You are part of a chosen generation. What does that mean? Well, we have to understand how God chose a generation in the Old Testament. That will perhaps help us to understand. God, out of nowhere, from an ungodly, idol-worshipping community, chose one man. And we know that was Abraham. Out of his descendants, he chose a generation of people unto himself. If you ask anybody in those days and about those people, they will admit, oh, these people are very different. They are a chosen generation by God. But Peter says, it is not just for them alone, but you are a chosen generation. I wonder whether we, you and I, including myself, live a life that is knowing that we are a different chosen people of God, which are chosen by God himself. And not only a chosen generation, a holy nation. We are a nation of God's people, built up into the spiritual body by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, placed by him as living stones, as part of a chosen generation, a holy nation. It seems like Peter is almost running out of words to explain it. A peculiar people. However, anybody has ever looked at you and said, this person is a peculiar person? I had sometimes, not very often, but seldom, they look at me and say, this guy is different. There is some peculiarity in this, in him. In some peculiarity in his behavior, in his attitude, in the words that he do, the words that he say, and the things that he do, and things that he does not do. There is something peculiar about this person. We are, not we will be, we will be one day in its fullness. Today, as we live here on this earth, we are a peculiar people. How does your behavior and lifestyle correlate based on what Peter has to teach us? A peculiar people. God has chosen a special generation of people in the Old Testament, and he led them through the wilderness, and he made them a nation that was, everybody around was jealous of them. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ today. He is the King of Kings. He is the High Priest. He is our pastor. He is our principal pastor, the chief pastor, any pastor that you want to call. He is the one and only pastor that we have, who is seated on the right hand of God, because he paid the price and purchased his own body and placed you and me as living stones into the spiritual body. And then he made us part of that holy nation. The word holy nation is very peculiar. Last time when we looked at the second part of chapter 1, we saw God has called us to be holy people. You be holy because I am holy, we read. We are part of a holy people, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Now Peter takes us to the next subject, which I will probably spend a little more time than these few verses. Now let's look at verse 8. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The Lord Jesus Christ, being the cornerstone of his body, which is the church, today for majority of human beings on earth, he is a stumbling block. You know what stumbling block means? Sometimes I walk around, maybe in the yard or something is in the middle, I stumble on it, I kick on it and not even know. Sometimes you may fall. It is something that is in your way. That is what who the Lord Jesus Christ is unto many people. He is simply in their way. He is a block to them. He is an offense to them. He is a person that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to even consider or think and even mention his name. When they do mention, they use it as a curse word. What a blasphemy. He is a stumbling block to which that rejected him. Can you imagine him being very precious in the sight of God? God himself sent his only son, the precious son of God, into this world, and the world takes the offense and they rejected him. Consider him as a stumbling block. I can't even imagine that part. It's one thing to reject somebody, but to consider him as a stumbling block simply means that you are stopping my progress. You are making me to fall down. That is the attitude they have. The Lord Jesus Christ is being considered as a stumbling block unto many. And that number is ever increasing. Around the globe, around the world, right here in our neighborhoods, he is a stumbling block unto many. But for us, those who are believing unto him, he is my cornerstone upon whom I am built. And my life, my breath, my life here on this earth, my walk with him, my eternity, all depends on him and him alone. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word. Why do they stumble? If you ask those who really reject Christ, they stumble primarily because they have nothing to do with this book. If you give them the scriptures, talk about the Bible, talk what the Lord has to tell them from the scriptures, they have nothing to do with it. They stumble because of their disobedience. They stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But now you, it is them, whoever that is. Peter says, now you. In verse 9, there are two major themes Peter is bringing. One theme is that you are. No question, no doubt, no hesitancy in what Peter is saying. First part of a number of statements in that verse 9, Peter says, you are. Meaning there is no question about it. There is nothing you can do to change it, nothing you can do to be part of it, nothing you can do to become as what Peter is saying, because it is given unto you. You are. What are we? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Those things are given. There is no doubt, because the statement is, you are. Once you are part of the building of the body of Christ, once you are part of the living stone, you are this. Even if you say, I don't want to be, you have no choice. Pretty much no choice is given in that statement. You are. This is what you are. Now the second part of that statement is what you may. That is where the question comes, or a choice is given, perhaps, if I can add that. You may. What? You should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is a choice that you and I make. I am in a chosen generation. I am a holy priesthood. I am a peculiar person according to him. I am that. I have no choice on that. But Peter at least suggests that we may have a choice, that I will show forth the glory of him who brought me from the darkness into marvelous light. Fellow believers, this is where I fail. This is where you fail. On our daily walk with him, rather than showing the glory of him or the praises of him, we do fail. We sometimes do the opposite. And Peter says that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you. Well, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago, someone mentioned that we have been called from the darkness into His marvelous light. We've been studying the book of studying the subject of hell, which I think Ashley is going to continue in our Bible class this morning. The darkness in the hell. We were heading towards that, but God has delivered us and brought us not only some light into His marvelous light. I'm sure it is very hard for me to at least to understand the very depth of it, to understand, fully grasp what Peter said when we are brought into marvelous light. The marvelous light simply means that the light that shines upon us in our hearts is so clear and evident that God can see it very clearly in our lives. We have been brought into the marvelous light. The marvelous light also leads us into the right path without stumbling and falling. The light does a lot of things in our life. Turn off this light, you will see the difference. Or if it's in the darkness, we have been brought into marvelous light. We can never say that I can't understand. We have been given the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We have been brought into the marvelous light. If you don't understand, if you stumble, it is not the Lord's fault, it is your fault that you have not dwelt or looked at the right steps into the right direction of God's word and follow Him. Therefore, we stumble sometime in our life. Not because we are in the darkness, even in the light. Because of our disobedience, we sometimes fall and stumble. You have been brought, chosen as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him. Look at your life last week. Last Sunday we were here. Wednesday some were here. Saturday very few were here. What were you doing in the last 1 week, 7 days? Did you have a chance to opportunity to show forth the praises of Him who has called you into this marvelous light? I cannot answer for you, I can answer for myself. That is the privilege that we have been brought into. And Peter continues to say that which in time past were not a people. We were not a people. We were absolutely worthless people. But are now the people of God. Now we are a people of God. We did not have mercy before. Now have obtained mercy. Now I want to dwell on a few minutes on the subject of the priesthood. Like I said, this is a subject that you will not hear any preaching in most places. This is a subject that very seldom taught, and there are some reasons to it. If that subject is to be taught according to the scripture that Peter talks here, as well as other writers and Paul talking about the priesthood of a believer, there will be thousands of unemployed pastors and the so-called Christian workers. They will be out of job. In the Old Testament, there were three special groups of people in Israel. One is the priesthood, the second one is the Levites, and the third one is the warriors. There is a difference between them. They had different duties to do. The priests had that, we know this, all this, so I'm not going into details on that. What the priest was doing, they were supposed to be worshippers or helping others to worship. The Levites are to serve, and the warriors are to fight and protect and serve in their life. In the church, that is the Old Testament, that is the Israel, but in the church today, and if we are a part of a living the spiritual body built up as a living stone, and if you are part of the church today, according to the biblical pattern, you are a priest unto God. As worshipper, you are all three of the above. You are a priest unto God as a worshipper. Every one of you is a Levite to serve their brethren in holy thing. All are soldiers to fight the good fight of faith. There is no difference or separation in this anymore. You are a priest and worship. You are a Levite to serve. You are a soldier to fight. But the difference was in the Old Testament. But somehow, Christendom has stolen that from the Old Testament
and adopted it in such a way that made a difference between God's people. There are some who are, I don't even know the names, what, laity or something like that. A layman and laity. They have separated God's people. Where is our separation in the scripture? They made the separation because they have the benefit of it. They can fly in their private planes. They can have 4 bodyguards when they run around. If this taught, truth is taught, the priesthood of every believer, the equality of every believer. But I'm not changing the subject of gifts. That's a totally different subject. Gifts and execution of gifts in believers, difference. That's not I'm not talking about. In the presence of God, you and I, when God looks down, there is no difference. We are exactly the same in the presence of God, in worship, in our service, and in our fight of the good fight. And all are supposed to be doing that. Every one of us. Therefore, we are a priest unto God. What did the priest do in the Old Testament time? Not every priest could enter into the holiest of holies. Only the high priest, once a year, after offering a sin offering unto himself, he very fearfully, trembling, enters into the holiest of holies. This morning when we sang one of the songs, we said we are entering into the holiest of holies. Did you enter? Let me ask you this question. Did you enter into the holiest of holies this morning? If you did you enter with fear? No. Did you bring a sacrifice? No. I did not. But we have been brought into the very presence of God by the blood of Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, the one who entered into the very presence of God. There he is seated on my behalf. Therefore I entered very boldly, with no fear, no question, no doubt, no trembling, into the very holiest of holies, and opened my heart of worship unto him who has loved us and gave himself for us. That is for every one of you, not for a group of separated people, not for so-called worship leaders. The worship leaders have replaced the Spirit of God today and taken his job from the God himself who leads the people of God to worship. Just as man has replaced the leadership of Christ who is on the heaven, in heavens, people have also replaced the work of the Holy Spirit to lead God's people into worship by becoming worship leaders. Well, there is a day coming, things will be very evident. But Peter makes us very clear that you are a priest, a royal priest. Now that word is very, very peculiar word. In the Old Testament time, royal is referring to the kingdom or the kings. And the priests are the worshippers. They don't mix together. The kings never become priests and priests never become kings. But when it comes to the New Testament, you and I are royal priesthood. We are kings and priests unto God at the same time. That combination you don't see anywhere else. Because our Lord became the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the only person in the Old Testament referred to as the king and the priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ became the high priest and the king in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Levites. Therefore, we, you and I, have been made a royal priesthood. Priesthood to worship, being royal in our service. The priesthood refers to our worship, the royalty of a king of kings. Kings and priests unto him. Shows that we are to serve him. Have you served the Lord last week? What did you do to serve him? I mean, I'm not talking about doing miraculous things. I'm just simply asking on your daily walk, last 7 days, day by day, morning by morning, have you had an opportunity to serve him? Have you had an opportunity to worship him? Don't wait for Sunday morning to worship. The Lord said, come and remember me as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You do show forth my, still I come, my death and my body.
Not once in a week, but once in a month, not once in a year. The Lord said, as often as possible, and the apostles in the Acts chapter 20, we read, they did observe this on a weekly basis at least. I would say at least. And they came and observed and remembered the Lord. And therefore, we are being brought into worshippers to serve and to fight the good fight. Never forget the separation. There is no separation, period, in the scriptures. Well, we are brought in to offer sacrifices, he says. Well, what is the sacrifice? Well, a few minutes left in front of me. Let me quickly look at, we won't take time to read. And we know these verses. What are our sacrifices when we come to God, come to the presence of God? Sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him, his name, as we find in Hebrews chapter 13 and 15. Sacrifices of our worship or praise as a fruit of our lips that we bring unto him. Well, this morning, I don't know how many are here. Not majority of us did not get up or say anything audibly or did say. Did you worship? Yes, you did. The fruit of our lips, the heart, the innermost heart of ours was rising, I hope it was, unto him. Those who got up and led us, or those who quietly sat together, our hearts were drawn unto him, and we should have worshipped him, bringing fruit of our lips, a sacrifice in our of praise. And the second thing that we read, a sacrifice of a presentation of the body as a living sacrifice, we read in Romans 12:1. It's a very famous and familiar verse to us. Paul writes that offering our body as a sacrifice. Let me pause and ask you this question, or to myself. If it applies to you, you can take it. If not, I'm going to ask it to myself. Did I offer my body this past week as a living sacrifice unto God? Perhaps you may want to ask that question to yourself. You may not want to. I leave it to you. Offering as a sacrifice your body, as Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1. And the third thing is the sacrifice of good works. Hebrews 13 and 16. Scripture continuously, in number of passages, instruct us to do good works. But do not forget to do good and share for which such sacrifice God is well pleased. If there is anything that pleases God, is to do good work and share the things that we have. And that becomes a sacrifice unto God, and it is well pleasing unto him. And the fourth thing, a sacrifice of possessions, or let me say, your pocketbook. Now we do in the assemblies here and similar assemblies around the world, right after our remembrance worship meeting, we pass the bag. And some people ask me, well, why don't you do this later, just get up there and announce the need of the money and what wonderful things we can do with the money, and so people, we can dig into God's people's pocket. Why? Because we don't do it is because it is a sacrifice of worship. What we offer to God from our pocketbook and our possessions is a worship unto him. When you put the offering this morning, did you think that you are worshipping God and offering a sacrifice unto him? Or was it a sacrifice at all? All of us can give. I have done it myself. From my excess, extra cash sitting around, we give it away. But that is not sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that really costs you. At least as I understand that meaning of that word. It is a worship unto him. And the last sacrifice we can offer unto him is of service, which you already touched on. Romans 15 and verse 6 says, our service to God is a sacrifice unto him. How small thing that we serve, seen or unseen. I tell you, there are many God's people serving unseemingly in the churches of God than others who are in the platform or doing things that are visible. Majority of the God's people, when they serve, perhaps most of the time, they do this very unseemingly in the front of people. But who sees it? God. He looks at it. He recognizes. He will keep an account. He writes down in his book. Perhaps people like me who or others who up here come up here and teach and who are visible and audible, I sometimes wonder, Lord, is it really serving? If it doesn't go back, go into the deep depth of God's people. I have just wasted my time and yours for 40 minutes. I hope that our service is a sacrifice unto God. So we will, my time is up, I'm going to pause there. What have we looked at? To whom have you come? Are you going to a person or a human being or to the cornerstone of the Lord himself? Or if you do not know the Savior, have you made that call to come to him? Do you realize that you are a living stone, not just a piece of dead stone? Many Christians are like that. They are dead people. They are part of the church membership, but they are dead. That is not biblical. That is not scriptural. That is not what Peter tells us, that you are a living stone, a life-producing stone. Therefore, you are have privileges in the spiritual body, in the spiritual house. And number three, you are a priest unto God. Brethren, if you forget everything I said this morning, please grasp the truth of the priesthood of a believer. And I have come across many Christians who leave the assemblies and go other places because they do not understand the principle of the priesthood of a believer. They can be a member or a number somewhere and do nothing and get go, and go have a good time and go home. No application of the priesthood of a believer. If you grasp that truth, it also brings privileges and it also brings responsibilities to us. I hope that you will take this very seriously, just as I have. And I'm so thankful when I was young and growing up. I can't remember and tell you exact time and date, but this truth has gone deep into my heart. And I will, until my last breath, I will not compromise, because this is God's word. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father, we thank you for the precious word. It is so deep, we only touch the surface of it. We pray that you may continue to speak my heart and each one of ours, these verses that we consider together, to the depth of our heart in the days to come, to live for your glory, realizing that we are lively stones placed in the spiritual body by our Lord himself. Bless our hearts as we depart. We pray for a time of fellowship that we take in the back room. We pray for the blessing. We remember the study, Sunday school study for the children in various classes as well as the adults here, as our brother Ashley brings the word this morning. Pray for the blessing upon our time. We give you glory, honor, and praise and worship because we pray this, giving you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.